Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to this podcast. This is Roots and Culture from Bogota, Colombia to the world. We are on the season different trips to USA, and this segment is going to be about New York. Now we're going to move to that beautiful but chaotic city, New York. We're going to talk a little bit about some highlights in New York, a little bit of history, information about those city bike places in New York that is recognized as city bike friendly. And also in our second segment, we are going to have an interview where we're going to talk about music. When we refer to New York, we have to talk about music. That's why we are going to refer to some artists from USA, but also we are going to talk with one close friend from here, from Colombia, who had the opportunity to be playing in New York. And we're going to talk a little bit about urban life, also nature, and a little bit of books, films, and musical references. This is Roots and Culture. In this segment, we are going to talk about a beautiful but chaotic city, New York, in USA. New York was literally built by immigrants. Some of the city's most iconic residential and commercial buildings were designed by immigrant architects who drew influence from their home countries to turn New York into an architectural and as well as cultural melting pot. Now we're going to locate our minds in one important part for the city, for New York. We are talking about Central Park. This is a huge park surrounded by green areas, really, really nice park, Central Park. And what they are doing right now, due to the fact that the quarantine and the COVID-19, so you can go to the page www.centralparknyc.org and you can observe all the images that this place has to offer. You can take a virtual tour, online tour, when you go to the web page, and you can know also the history of this important place, Central Park. I had the opportunity to be there a few years ago. It's really nice place if you want to ride your bike or if you want just to walk around and have some fresh air. This is the perfect place. Also, some events were taking place there. Now we have to see how it's going to be changing in the future. But for sure, those are one of those important places that a city needs. Central Park, in the heart of Manhattan, from 59th Street to 110th Street, between 5th Avenue and Central Park West. This area contains centuries of stories centered around topography, events, and social issues, and was a place many people lived, worked, and fought. The first settlers were early European. The early settlement in the pre-park and environs began in 1637, when the Walloon family from today's Belgium and France arrived to create a tobacco farm just north of 110th Street. Also, there were some immigrants' communities. At the turn of the 19th century, the pre-park land was still far from the destiny of the city, but farms began to spring up through the entire area. After the end of a financial depression in the mid-1840s, land values rose everywhere in Manhattan, just as the largest wave of Irish and German immigrants were moving into American cities. With New York Park, we can evidence how the immigrant legacy started in New York, specific in USA, but it was also African legacy. because the most populated area beginning in 1825 was the well-known Seneca Village, the largest property owning African American community in New York and possibly in urban America at the time. It was home to a school, three churches, and also some grounds. Second spot in our list of the highlights in New York, the ones that we had the opportunity to visit years ago, is the High Line. This is a community project, the High Line in New York. It was built by the New York Central Railroad between 1920 and 1934 to lift dangerous freight trains from Manhattan streets. The High Line was part of a much larger rail project called the West Side Improvement, which eliminated street-level train crossings from Deauville to Lower Manhattan. The High Line trains carried meat, produce, and dairy products into warehouses and factories at the third floor level. It was known as the Lifeline of New York. For many years, the High Line was a vital part of the busy manufacturing landscape of the industrial West Side. However, as trucking began to replace rails as the primary means of moving freight of New York City, train traffic declined of the High Line. By 1980, the trains had stopped running what remained of the High Line from Gainsbourg Street to 34th Street was slowly taken over by an all-known landscape showing the power of nature to conquer even monumental man-made structures. In 1990, with the High Line threatened with demolition, neighborhood resident Joshua David and Robert Hammond formed Friends of the High Line to advocate for the preservation and rose of the structure. And this is when the community project started, in 2002, through the leadership of Mayor Michael Bloomer and the New York City Council. The City of New York committed to transform the High Line into a one-cone park, innovative design that was central to the vision. The goal was to create a public landscape as unusual and unexpected in the High Line itself. A lot of people have been part of this High Line transformation. Tree Park embodies to the dedication to New York City and the desire to make something wonderful to next generations. Now it's time to talk a little bit about art in New York, and for that we have to talk about MoMA, Museum of Modern Art. Right now it's closed, but there are a lot of projects and activities that you can do on the web, so please visit moma.org and you can find all the activities. I was there a few years ago. I was just in front of the building, MoMA building, but with just a few hours to visit the place. So I had to decide which floor to visit. I could explore the whole museum. I didn't have enough time to do it, so I decided to go straight to the fifth floor. And right now I think that was the best decision made. Just to give you an idea of what is there inside, in the fifth floor, you can find some of the most important 19th century innovators. Talking about Van Gogh, Picasso, Pollock, many others. And this is one on a life opportunity to observe art in one place. Now we can do it on the web as well. For me, it was just 2 hours experience being there in front of unique pictures. So it's really recommended in the future for having the opportunity to be there if you want to visit that artistic place. Is really recommended. They have a lot of projects right now. In the web, they have virtual views. Also, there is a playlist if you want to listen some music related to art. So you can check on Spotify MoMA account and you can add MoMA playlist to your summer mix. Also, you can learn a little bit. MoMA has a community of learners, so you can join the free online courses and projects as well for justice. And with all that happened recently, few months ago, with the Black Lives Matters, so they have some projects related. On social media, I'm gonna share with you some pictures, images of the what was inside on the MoMA. So you will find Pollock artwork, also Van Gogh's, and some Picasso. So please refer to the Instagram account Jordans by Bike. We're gonna have all the pictures there posted, so you can have like an idea what we are talking about. This one is a unique experience, being there in front of those arts projects. It's really, really nice to be there. Also, when you refer to the web page, there is the part that is collections, 1880s, 1940s. This one is about 19th century innovators. For example, we're talking about Van Gogh, when he was in that era of rapid change, the emergency of a mass media, new and faster forms of transformation, noisy and bustling cities, and developments in industry. Some of the images that you can see on the web page moma.org, or also in our social media that we are going to post some pictures on Instagram, Jordans by Bike, you will see Vincent Van Gogh portrait of Joseph Golding, that amazing picture from 1889, also The Starry Night by the same Van Gogh. We're gonna share those pictures on Jordans by Bike on Instagram, but as well, you can take a look to the MoMA web page. They have different projects there, and they have the virtual tour, so you can just join one of those tours and you can get a sense of what the museum is inside. One of the spots where you can say that New York is a chaotic city is Times Square. Well, that was like a few months ago. Nowadays it's very different, and that's why we want to talk a little bit about Times Square, because there have been some important projects right now that are happening specific in Times Square. Times Square Arts, Poster House, Print Magazine, and For Freedoms, they have launched a city-wide public art campaign that is featuring artist design and messages of love, gratitude, and solidarity with New York's healthcare and essential workers. If you observe some pictures, videos on the web or TV or in movies, or if you have been there, you can notice that there is a place where you have all those screens that are telling you all the time, are advertising about a label, brand, or product or service. Well, right now they are changing a little bit, and they want to express messages of love, gratitude, and solidarity. While images of an empty Times Square have become emblematic of how the public life has shifted in this global crisis, the streets of New York City are not in fact empty. Hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers head to work each day to sustain this city, from healthcare professionals, city workers, sanitation staff, grocery store and bodega employees, delivery people, and more. As an extension of this campaign, and in solidarity with New York's nearly 2 million immigrants workers, Times Square Arts, For Freedoms, and Poster House are launching this new limited edition benefit print by Pedro Reyes, produced by Brooklyn Editions. There is going to be a donation to the New York Immigration Coalition, the advocacy organization that represents over 200 immigrants and refugees rights groups through the New York. In response to this crisis, New York has launched the hashtag NY United Fund. So you can follow this hashtag in Instagram, social media, NY United Fund, to help ensure the health and safety of New York's immigrants on the front lines. As you can see during this podcast, during this segment, we have referred to the immigrants and all the process through photography to architecture and all the buildings that we can find in New York. Time to talk about the Rockefeller Center. And there is a epic picture that was taken. The name is Men at Lunch. You can find it easily on Google on the web. It's called Men at Lunch. On this picture, one of the workers might be of Mohawk descent. So that is what is one of the points that is important behind this picture. It's not surprised that Rockefeller Center was built on the backs of the immigrants, including men from Ireland, Italy, and Germany. But one of the unsung groups to lend their talents to the job was Mohawk Indians, who were located in the northern New York and on the south in Canada, following their support of the British during the Revolutionary War. The Mohawks honed their ironworking skills on Canadian construction projects, and they later traveled to New York, where work on the Empire State Building, George Washington Bridge, and of course this one, the one that we are mentioning today, Rockefeller Center, that was opened up by the time. Through many Mohawks eventually settled in the city, most in the hill section of Brooklyn, according to Rockefeller, to work these jobs, the majority of men would leave their families in Canada and drive 2 hours down to the city on Sunday, and then journey back at the end of the week. So in here we can observe, through the picture, you can observe all the immigrant legacy that is still evident on New York, especially on the buildings. It is not confirmed, but it's believed that one of the men in the picture, when you observe the picture, there is one of the guys that is like in the middle. He is wearing a cap and he has a cigarette on his mouth. He's like holding an envelope, a paper bag. That guy, it is said that is Peter Rice, an iron worker of Mohawk descent. So as we can see, here we have legacy immigrants from Italy, Ireland, and this one that is from Indian communities, indigenous communities. And to talk about Brooklyn Bridge, one of my favorite spots in New York. This is one of the best experience and nice places to take pictures. So if you want to have the vibe of what is right in New York, this is one of the recommended places, Brooklyn Bridge. We had the chance to bike on that bridge years ago. Thanks to the bike rental Blazing Saddles, you can find the web page Blazing Saddles. They offer tours to ride the city. That is gonna be one of the future, on the future is gonna be one of the safest ways to know a city due all the pandemic situation. So when you go on your bike, it's gonna be the safe place for you when you go with all the protocols. So Brooklyn Bridge, one of the best experiences to ride a bike. There is a pedestrian side that also you can go by your bike. It's a really nice place because you can connect different spot locations. We explored the bike-friendly side of the city, New York, and on an scenic and historic bike ride. It was by the Brooklyn Bridge, and it is like a chance for you to enjoy the Manhattan skyline from across the East River. Also from there, it is possible to ride from Battery to Prospect Parks. This is one of the ways the city, you can enjoy and feel the vibe of the city when you ride. It's really recommend. Also, we are going to post some pictures of all those places that we have mentioned before. Some of them we visited on the riding the bike, So you will see the pictures on our social media. We are going to leave all the description on the podcast, so you will find easily our social media. Anyway, it's going to be Journals by Bike, where you're going to find all the information. And talking about Brooklyn Bridge and about the bike-friendly side of New York, it is time for our filmic recommendation that is going to be Premium Rush. It's a 2012 film. It's action thrill film and is directed by David Cope, and also is with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Shannon, Daniel Ramirez, and Jamie Chan. With this bike, you're gonna have like the perfect feeling of what is riding New York, the streets of New York. This is about bicycle messengers. This is about all the situation that can happen in a crazy, chaotic, serious New York, but also that is bike friendly. So this is a nice recommendation. Premium Rush, American movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Really recommend to watch this movie if you want to have like that sense of what is riding New York streets on a bicycle. Now let's talk about music. And when we refer to New York, we have to talk about some music. For doing that, I have a guest here, a very close friend from here, from Bogota, Colombia. He is an English teacher, and he has been involved in the music years ago with three different projects. He has been playing on New York. So, Versex, thanks for being part of this podcast. Welcome to Roots and Culture, and how are you, man?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me today. It's awesome to be here.
Thank you. So when was the last time that you visit New York?
The last time, I think it was 2019. That was last year, around April. We were playing with one of the bands, with one of the projects that I had. That was 2019. I'm just looking forward to go back, but like with all the situation with coronavirus, we just don't really know when that will be possible, but let's hope it's going to be soon.
Yeah, that's true. And what is the first thing that comes to your mind when we talk about New York? Is that music or is something else?
I would say two things mainly about New York, which is music for sure and style. There are two main things that you will be able to see in New York, right?
Yeah.
For me, it is like super important, the music, right? It was like the birthplace for many genres and subgenres. It's the place for music, definitely the place for creation in general. I would say even like art and fashion. I think it could be like even two more accurate words, because it's not just about music, but a lot about art in general, and like about a lot of other things like fashion, style, clothes, and all those sort of things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. And what is the thing that you miss the most from New York?
I think the diversity.
Yeah, right.
New York, basically, for sure, yeah, for sure. It's a city with like so many different things going on at the same time. Like in just one block, you can have a lot of different languages, a lot of different styles, different architectures. Different people, for sure. It's like so varied in terms of people who are actually there, but they are coming pretty much from all parts of the world, all corners of the world. So we'll be able to see like so many different things in just one day of walking New York. That is just like such an amazing thing. I don't know if there are really any other cities who are at like varied and like full of people from all over, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the only one. It's unique.
Probably, for sure.
And let's go a little bit back on time. So maybe to 90s, 80s, 90s. Talking about music, what is your perspective about music from New York, taking into account like those like 90s, 80s and 90s?
Well, definitely, if we really talk about like one of the like main branches, or let's say like the main genre of New York, which it was purely like from that place, we will need to go then a little bit back, like in the 70s, that it was like in 1973, was kind of like the year where hip hop was born, right? Yeah, like based, of course, on a mix of so many other things, right? But New York basically was a place where everything started. There was a lot of disco music for sure in New York. There were like some other genres here and there, but mainly it was like disco funk. There was some funk around. There was, of course, a lot of gospel in the like suburbs of New York, let's say. And that gave birth basically to one of the like biggest genres of music and like culture and everything, which it was hip hop. That was like 1973. Then, of course, it like kind of boom, like in the 80s for sure. The 90s as well was like big time for hip hop, and it's been like that since that time, really, like one way or another. But I would say like 80s and 90s was like the biggest boom for the hip hop scene and like rap and everything that is like related or inside like the hip hop culture, for sure.
And I think New York, if you go there just for a few days, you can feel the influence in the city. For example, if you just take photography, you will see, you will feel the vibes on the city. What about for you as a musician? What are you like the influences from New York that you can say like maybe one band, one group, one person, but talking about music?
Well, there are plenty, really. Personally speaking, for sure, a lot of bands from the like the hip hop scene. Mainly, just to name few, I would say
What will
personally
be
all-time
your
high.
top 3 or top 5 of your personal influences in New York?
Well, let's make it five. I wouldn't say like in which order, really, but I would go still, of course, in that top of like New York artists with the Wu-Tang Clan.
Nice,
They were from Staten Island. So like it's basically one of the legends of like hip hop. They started like in the early 90s, and have all these like vibe of like very underground, ghetto-ish, angry, even like hardcore wave of rap from the beginning of the 90s. For sure, that will be on the list. There is another artist that I really like, which is Nas. He has like a lot of things related to New York, but a lot of like an amazing vibe. One of the best albums he has is called Illmatic. That's also like early 90s, mid 90s. He
From
even did
Brooklyn,
some
right? Is he from
collaborations.
Brooklyn? Something like that? I'm not wrong.
I guess it was Brooklyn. For sure. And he was also, of course, like he even did like some works for some albums with Damian Marley as well.
That one is really nice. I like that one.
It's definitely very good, like featuring like collaboration of the mode. So it was very interesting to see how he was kind of like joining another artist, and just like in general, he's, I think, it's amazing. Which other parts, of course, like Notorious B.I.G., he was like, well, it was like a big situation about his assassination and all the situation with Tupac and everything. But he was like amazing, one of like just like amazing flow and everything. So I would say like he would need to be in that list. For sure, like kind of the white guys that were like the kings of like New York for a very long time, that is Beastie Boys.
Of course, Beastie
Beastie Boys,
Boys, yeah.
definitely, they had like such a big influence, not just in the hip hop scene, but also like with the break dancers, with the B-Boys. They would really go for it, with a lot of songs of like Beastie Boys. They had amazing producers, great albums, and just like, kind of also like a big influence on the style of like New York scene, even being white, which it's like that is not something very common. sure. Who else could I just like leave there in that list? I mean, there is really just like so many. There's like Jay-Z is there as well, for example. Like I think he's like an amazing artist, Busta Rhymes. But I would say one of my favorites personally would be Rakim. Rakim was like an amazing. Well, he is still right. He also had like at the end of the 80s, he had a band with Eric. It was called Eric B. and Rakim. They were like amazing, and then he like kept on going with his solo career. So like it was just like one of the best rappers for me. Like I really like his flow. And no, there are just like really too many. There's like
Yeah, there is a
KRS-One,
long list.
Jay-Z. Yeah, the list is just like so extensive. So I think it would be better if we can just like create like Spotify list. I think it will be attached to the comments so like people can actually go and check like how many amazing artists there were like in the 80s and 90s. It's basically a type of music that was like was coming from punk, right? But then they kind of like reinvented their own ways there in New York, and it was like basically hardcore punk or hardcore by itself, right? So with my band, we play closer to the hardcore than what it is to rap, even though we also like mix like hardcore and rap as well. But we're closer to hardcore, so we were playing like in that type of scene, let's say, with bands like related to that genre of music and everything. We have like two dates, two like small gigs. Well, one was quite a small, the other one was like a little bit bigger. It was like a sort of festival in Brooklyn. That was like, yeah, April 2019. And it was amazing. It was very cool. The band is called Scum Crew. It was basically the first time that like a Colombian band was actually there. I think there was before a Latino band that was playing with like Latino members or Latino, like, I mean, they just had some Latino roots kind of thing, but it was basically the first time that a Colombian band and a band from Latin America was actually playing in such like scenarios and stuff. So it was amazing. We think people really liked it. They stayed to see the band. They were very like supportive, were like dancing and just like enjoying. So for us it was like such amazing experience for sure.
Nice. So you are gonna be on historic books on the records that you were the first Colombian band playing in Brooklyn.
Probably, I hope people will just actually have it like somewhere for sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
And
that'll be amazing.
you have played in both cities. I mean, you have played in different cities, right? But if we take into account Bogota and New York, how much is the difference? That is one in one place and in the other. Are we behind too much on the independent musical scene from Bogota to New York?
Yeah, definitely there's a difference.
Yeah, because we are, but the point is to know how much is that difference?
Well, it's difficult to measure really, but definitely New York is a more open city in terms of music and in terms of like things going on all the time. Like there's always something to do in New York. There are a lot of things going on, not just about music, but about arts and about permit favoriting. So you could go like any day of the year, and usually New York will always have something like. So it's a city that is very like oriented towards like artistic spaces and like just always something going on there, right? So in that sense, it's very different from Bogota for sure. In terms of like how music has evolved and the accessibility for music and the way music musicians actually play and everything, for sure New York is forward. There are many different types of styles, many different fusions of styles. Such things not really that common here in Bogota, even though there are things going on in Bogota. It's not like I'm saying that there's really nothing going on in Bogota, because there is. Well, at least in usual times, not in quarantine, right? Because like really there's pretty nothing going on right now, just like all like online things and gigs and stuff like that, but really nothing as it should. But but usually there are also things going on in Bogota. When I think there's a marked difference. The access to music is it's different. The possibility for you to have gigs, the scenarios, the backline, for example, like the audio is definitely better in places like New York. That was like totally visible because, of course, I guess you can have access to more types of instruments and like backline and stuff like that. But there's still an underground scene. There are still like some gigs and concerts that are done like very DIY, very like do it yourself kind of thing. So there's still also like underground scene in New York. But definitely, like, I would say it's more advanced if you ask me, so for sure.
The groups, the artists from here, from Bogota, from Colombia, for example, your own projects that you have. What is missing? What needs to be done in order for musicians, groups to be listened in New York, maybe in radio stations or like in platforms right now, that because music right now is just online. I mean on platforms. So what needs to be done for musicians from Colombia to be here there?
Definitely a very good plan and a very good structure in terms of social media and publicity that is absolutely necessary for any band. Definitely, like it's just something that a band has to do because right now there are the tools for you to be able to be listened worldwide, right? So you gotta use what you have, right? You gotta have your YouTube channel. You're gonna have your social networks active. You're gonna be active online. You're gonna invest as well. For sure, everything is done if you have a very good product. If you have a very cool, catchy product, something that is like, I don't know, very according to the times and very according to what is going on, that it could be liked by many people. For sure, you have your starting point, but it is not just about music, but also the way you use music. The way you promote your music, the way you promote like the things that you are doing. So if you have that, if you have somebody who's actually working with you with the band, if you have somebody like that is going to tell you exactly how to do it in terms of YouTube, how to do it in terms of like all the social networks, the visual parts, how to reach more people. For sure, you will be able to be heard in places like New York. We have some people that, for example, for our projects, actually listen to the band and they are like from New York, so and from many other parts of the world, really. So it depends also on how you manage to do it.
Yeah, right. So, and then when you're talking about that importance, so that brings you to the importance of the social media right now, more on these hard times. So, when people want to know a little bit more about your projects, where can they find in social media, what is on Spotify, on YouTube?
Well, definitely like each of the projects that I have, they have their own like Facebook and Instagram mainly. We also have other projects like Spotify, so everything's pretty much loaded over Spotify and YouTube channels. So I think you can just leave all that in the description.
Yeah, right. We're gonna do that.
But for sure, like people can find us like easily. That was something that was really not possible so many years ago. It was such a hassle. Like it was like very weird that some band from Colombia would be actually heard or like people actually knew about the band like I don't know 10 or 15 years ago. But right now, because of all this internet, social networks, and everything, well, it gets kind of easier and easier for sure.
Yeah, right. And you just released a video, right, last week. Thanks again to the virtual platforms. So would you say that that will be the future or maybe the present of the music?
It's actually the present. It's been the present of music for a very long time. Whether some bands want to accept it or not, it's just what it is. Like 1% is going to be about music, but it is not just about music anymore. It's about promoting yourself. It's about like considering your band as business, right? If you actually want to do it, if you want overwhelmed, you're just gonna stay overwhelmed, and that's gonna be pretty much right. But if you like have the hopes or like really wanna project your bed like into something else, for sure you will need to do all this kind of stuff. We are constantly releasing like videos and stuff, like kind of like YouTube content. The last like video by itself, like the official video, it was released around 3 months ago.
Okay.
Actually, like a little bit after the quarantine started, we managed to record everything before like the situation started, and then it was released after, like I think around April or something like this.
So by the time you already had material.
Exactly. Yeah, we have material, and also like during the quarantine, also we released a couple of kind of like mini documentaries about the band. You know, like just showing a little bit how's the band from the inside and everything.
Yeah.
And like yeah, music. I mean, we have uploaded like pretty much everything to like Spotify and like online platforms, just like Deezer. I don't know, Google. Like music, Apple Music, Tidal, just like all the platforms pretty much. So we can be kind of present, like if there's somebody that really want to check out the band or that they really want to know what's the band about for sure.
Oh, almost at the end of this interview, but before you go, Berserk, what will be your favorite place in New York?
Wow, that's...
I know that it's hard, but what would be one favorite spot in New York?
Well, let me see. I think I really like, for sure, there are parts of Manhattan that they're amazing. I really like some streets, you know, that's what I have in mind of New York. For me, I really like to just like step down almost any like station in Manhattan and just being able to walk around. You know, like New York streets in general, they're very appealing. There are a lot of more specific places for sure, touristic or some more is not that much and stuff like that. But definitely like the streets in general. And one part that I would say maybe that could be kind of the part, it'll be like the Brooklyn Bridge. I really think it was like such.
Yeah, from there you can have nice shots.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was like such in my mind because of movies or because of like music videos and stuff. So I always wanted kind of like to see that part of New York, and it did happen. It's amazing. You know, it's kind of like what I had in my mind. So I would say that, and definitely the rest will be just like streets.
Okay, nice. So there you go. On our description, we are going to leave all the social media for all the people to check it out. And please support with your views, your likes, share to your friends. This is how we can support each other during these times, especially with the music. So thanks again, man, for being part of this podcast, for being part of Roots and Culture. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for the invitation. And yeah, for sure, follow us. Keep on like listening to music. Keep on listening to this podcast. And like, thanks a lot. See you around.
Okay, see you. See you around, man. Thank you.
Roots and Culture, and this segment that is called An Open Letter to New York. We already had some information about those highlights, also our interview talking about music in New York. So if you want to take a look to the pictures taken on New York, please refer to the Instagram Journals by Bike, Journals by Bike on Instagram. Please like the pictures, also follow the account, will be really appreciated. Also to our web page, elotroparche.com. Roots and Culture is a pedagogical project to promote the use of English as a second language. And also we have this web page where we are going to have all the cultural content. www.elotroparche.com. For some music, please refer to the Spotify account elotroparche.tv. We're gonna have the playlist with all the songs from New York. Also there you're gonna find the playlist by MoMA with all the songs and music related to art. Also in Facebook, you can find us as Journals by Bike, and this podcast was made with the app Anchor. We really recommend this app. It's very easy to use if you are thinking on doing your own podcast. If you want to share your voice, your opinion with the world, please do it with Anchor. It's very easy. It's for free. You don't have to pay. And then you're going to have your podcast in different platforms as well. In our case, you can find us on Anchor as Roots and Culture, also on Spotify, Roots and Culture, the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Google Podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe, like, and share it with your friends. It will be really appreciated. This is Roots and Culture. See you around.